Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to episode 19 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Fresh from a night of very little sleep watching the Super Bowl and a whole weekend of watching the Six Nations. I'm joined by JB.
Hi, Tim.
And Phil.
Hi, Tim.
And we are going to be talking about the Six Nations, the return of the Premiership, and just generally loving rugby as we always do, not taking ourselves or the game too seriously, however. And... well, I think there's one place we have to start. Now, we'll get on to the actual Six Nations rugby itself in a minute, but let's start with a stash update. Stash! Ah! Stash
updates.
Here we go. We need to get, if you're called Gordon and you want to do a regular stash slot called Stash Gordon, and game on. I'm game up for that.
Absolutely.
Might have to do a character called Stash Gordon. Now, listen, I don't know if I'm the only person who, following watching the Six Nations matches over the weekend, want to revise my decision about what the best kit is in the Six Nations.
I think I'd also like to revise my my opinion.
Agreed.
It's one thing seeing it in a photograph on the captains, and it's another thing seeing it on the telly in action.
Exactly.
To recap, we went with Scotland's is the worst, followed by Ireland, followed by Wales, followed by England, followed by France, followed by Italy. Yep. Where does that change for you, Phil?
The bottom two swap round for me.
Yep.
Getting to see them both in the flesh on Sunday. The Macron kit, I know we've given them a lot of stick, but that actually looked quite nice.
It did look all right.
Yes, and it has one feature no other kit has. I think no other kit has. The ability to turn up
the collar.
Yeah. The lapels.
Oh, you can pop your collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
Murray Lowe
did when he was scrimmaging.
I thought that looks kind of cool, actually.
Even with the Macron on the chest, it did actually look quite good.
Yeah.
I'd go one further, and I'd say I preferred the Scotland kit to the Wales kit.
Wow.
I'd push Wales down to five.
The thing is about the Wales kit, you can't look at it as just a game day kit. It's a whole proposition. So when you see their warm-up tops are incredible, with the faded red on the chest. So you've got like the little feathers in red. It looks awesome. But... too many patches, and also
little grey and black design. Not
yeah.
Whoever saw the white patches on the Italian kit? A beautiful kit, city white patches on
the back of the shoulders.
That would be where my other change would be. I would swap France and Italy around.
Yeah,
yeah.
France's kit looked awesome. I loved it.
Yeah,
I love them both.
Yeah,
I think Adidas have done a splendid job on both of them.
Well
I
done,
think,
Adidas.
Actually, France goes to top. England move up one.
Wow.
It's a three. Wales stay where they are.
You see, I reckon if Sergio Parise had worn any kit in the pre-match promotional shots, we'd have called that number one.
Yeah, I think so.
Very good point.
Very strong point.
The one other thing about the Ireland kit, which means that it is the worst, is it's a tight-fitting kit besides the arms.
Yeah.
The arms... so I can understand the arms being skinny on, like, Johnny Sexton or Devlin Toner, who are, like, beanpoles. But the arms were baggy on Kian Healy.
Yeah.
How on earth?
Kian Healy.
How on earth have they got shirt sleeves big enough to be baggy on
Kian
Healy?
They made them for Sean O'Brien, clearly, didn't they? That was it.
Sean O'Brien's tried every shirt on. That's the only thing.
He stretched all the arms.
I found 5 years ago, Tottenham had a kit made by Kappa or someone.
Yeah.
And it
skin
was,
tight
yeah,
one.
Yeah, skin tight. And it was kind of novel for football. And even though it was skin tight, Jermaine Jennings' tiny little arms made the sleeves baggy.
Well, there we go. We revised our decision. Yeah, obviously, you might have a different opinion. You can always get in touch with us about this or anything else at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. That was our stash update. do love Stash. We do love Stash. Right, let's get on to the actual Six Nations itself. There's only one place to start, really. It was the Le Crunch, and it turned out to be so with a last-minute victory for France. As a Welshman, JB, I mean, you posted a Twitter on our Twitter page of you and your Welsh compatriots wearing France shirts.
I just like the French stash. What can I say?
But they weren't deserving of a victory, really, were they?
Well, they were, because they won. It was a weird game. I give Stuart Lancaster all the credit in the world for going with that young team. And I also feel very, very sorry on Sunday morning for Jack Noll. Anyone who knows anything about rugby is going to say he had some good bits and he had some bad bits. But unfortunately, his bad bits were a lot more public than his good bits. They were a lot more obvious. Even though some things that he couldn't actually help, like certain bounces
like
of the
someone
ball
passed the ball to his ankles.
Yeah. Yeah. So things he can't, but he happened to be involved in that bit of play.
A few times. And like the first kickoff, the first moment of the game, his first touch of international rugby was to knock on.
Yeah.
And then his second one was boom, getting smashed.
He did offload well. Yeah.
Now, here'd be my point, right? That if it was my first international game and I didn't really want to stand out for any other reason other than my rugby, first thing I wouldn't do would be wear an urban camouflage scrum hat. And the second thing I wouldn't do is have a little blonde rat tail.
I know. We've mentioned his hair before.
Probably avoid those two things.
I was a bit disappointed to see Danny Kerr come off.
Yes. Yeah, you're not the only one.
And him and Courtney Laws, to be fair, when the two of them came off.
Mm. Yeah.
It almost feels like they were pre-arranged substitutions. Mm. They decided that in going into the game, that's what the plan was and that's it.
I am 100% certain that Noll coming off at that time was pre-planned because it did not make sense with the players. With losing May so early,
yeah.
So Mike Brown had to go onto the wing and Goud went to fullback, which is weakening the team. So you've already got Brown playing out of position and Burrow playing out of position, but they bring on Barrett for Noll. Barrett goes out of position and Burrow goes onto the wing, who was at fault for the last try.
Yeah.
He should have held out. He shouldn't have gone in for Zarzewski because Launchbury was coming across. And if he holds out, he can cover Fiku, which means that Goud can get the last man.
See, interesting, isn't it? Because you'd have thought an outside centre with the difficulties which come with playing that position defensively would be able to work out on the wing.
He's an inside centre. He's not
who
an outside centre.
Yeah, but he's
game.
Playing in international 13, so you've got to assume he can play international 13.
Well, he's had 2 weeks training international 13. That won't give him the necessary experience to play wing.
I saw that final try exactly as Phil saw it. When I looked at the replays, people were going, oh, Goud didn't really have a choice. He just had to choose one or the other. But you're absolutely right. I went, no, look at Burrell. You should have stayed out.
Yeah. How is Goud one of the best fullbacks in England when he's not even the best fullback in England called Goud? I'd rather go to war with Andy.
Johnny May, come on. He was in... Johnny May, right, he broke his nose, fine. But he was in the very stadium where Imanol Arunordiki had a massively broken nose, 2 black eyes and that enormous homemade face mask. Yeah. So come on, man up, Johnny May.
Exactly.
But that completely changed England because I didn't like England's bench in the backs because none of them are impact players.
No.
They're all just standard. They're good, solid players, but none of them is going to come on and change a game.
Is Foden fit?
No. You could have had Anthony Watson and you could have had George Ford.
Yep.
And you could have had...
I completely agree.
They are dynamic and exciting and all that kind of stuff.
Now, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I'd just like to congratulate Owen Farrell because I thought he's actually really good. Still not a great kicker.
Wow.
But I thought ball in the hand... Fair play. He looked very, very good.
He had a bad game by his standards going for posts.
He played well with ball in hand. He created
and Philippe Saint-André must just... you could see his old sphincter was going 10p, 50p, wasn't it? He was thinking of the French HR department drafting up his P45 for the end of the tournament. You could tell. What was that?
I thought I'd switched it off, but it's my Bitcoin tracker. So,
of course it is, Jake.
How many Bitcoin do you have?
I don't have enough Bitcoin. That is a fact.
Right, so Bitcoin is like a virtual money, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Who invented it? Who'd you buy it from?
Was it a Japanese shop?
Well, the guy who invented it might not even be a guy. It's a pseudonym who wrote the paper.
So is it going up in price quite a lot then?
It's about
very volatile.
£69 for a Bitcoin right now.
So if you follow
how much?
£569 for Bitcoin.
But if you follow it over the last 2 years, it's been from 5p to £500 per Bitcoin.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's some huge bubbles created and then burst.
More volatile than, say, Leeds United's financial situation. It's up and down all the time.
Volatile than a discussion between the Welsh regions and the WRU.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wales then. It was not comfortable enough for Wales, was it? That's pretty much standard Wales at the start of a Six Nations tournament, wasn't it?
What can you say? A win's a win. You're expected to win it, and if you don't win it, it's an absolute disaster. We won it, and that's fine.
Solid, but unspectacular.
There was something which worried me about the Wales game, and the commentator pointed out, is how obvious some of the Welsh back moves are. You just know what's going to happen. It gets wide behind everyone else. Kind of like a rugby league move.
If that inexperienced Italy back line, and it was very inexperienced, can read those moves, telegraph them, that doesn't bode well.
And Ireland-Scotland.
Slow start for Ireland.
Yeah.
Scotland held well, but then Ireland really showed their class. Some of their offloading play was superb.
They look awesome, don't they?
Sexton looked really, really good.
I was going to say, what I would give for Jamie Roberts and Johnny Sexton. If I could take one player from the two teams, I'd take those two.
Because Sexton, he does it all. He can take it to the gain line.
Even
and
with
spin.
His weedy little arms.
Yeah, spin.
When he made that break...
That break was I did not think he had that pace in him.
Well, again, I got very excited because I had both Heaslip and Sexton in my fantasy team.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like a points bonanza. I even cheered when Sergio Parese scored. Have that, Phil!
It's amazing how the Fantasy League will change your loyalties. Well, on that front, yes, we do have a Six Nations Fantasy Rugby League, which is through the ESPN Scrum Fantasy League. We have the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast League. There's loads of people in the league, and we have some pretty cool prizes as well. The winner currently is currently is Rory.
Yeah. Not for long.
If you want to see, there's a league code. It's the Scrum ESPN
530
Fantasy
30.
League.
As Jay said, 530-30. If you add yourself to the league...
Word of warning, it's a pretty elite league, so don't be taking it lightly.
And there's 114 people in the league so far.
Nice. Thank you very much for joining and getting involved. And back to matters rugby, where it's... sad times. We're saying goodbye to the LV Cup until the knockout stages in April. But unfortunately, we have Six Nations and Premiership Rugby this weekend. Now, thanks to the scheduling, it means we're going to get to see it all. So you've got three Six Nations games, obviously, across Saturday and Sunday. And there's also Premiership Rugby on BT Sport. And they have scheduled it so that it doesn't clash with any of the Six Nations. Friday night, Worcester-Leicester. Saturday, 7 p.m. So you've got 2:15 kickoff or 2:30, 5 p.m. kickoff and a 7 p.m. kickoff. Chiefs Saints, which I'm really looking forward to.
Excellent.
And Quinn's Wasps on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff before France Italy. Let's pause briefly for a little game that I want to play because I don't know if you've been watching. I mean, we talked about the BBC, we talked about BT Sport, but there is some other. What's going
Jay.
On?
Jay.
Sorry.
We should have a fine box.
Yeah, we should.
For such
sorry, that's a Bitcoin alert as well.
There is some rugby action going on Sky Sports. It's a School of Hard Knocks anyway, which I quite like as a show.
I've been on School of Hard Knocks.
You've told us several times.
Have I told you?
You told me about at least 10 times that you were the one described as the power of the big forwards.
Yeah, that's right. Struggle to contain their larger opponents. That was me. And I threw a pass to Will Greenwood for him to score.
Well, I thought we could play a game, right? Because what I've got is I love Scott Quinnell's motivational speeches. And just before the big moment in the latest episode, which is I really like this show. Scott Quinnell does an impassioned speech. I want you to try and predict some of the words that he will say in his speech.
Ooh.
Can we do an over or under on this? I'll say three words, I've guessed. And if Phil thinks he can get four words, then Phil can either challenge me or he can go for four words.
Yeah, cool. So you're going for one at the minute, are you? Are you going for two words, Phil?
I'm
going
to say three.
Three.
Three, Phil?
I'll try for four to make it interesting.
Are you going to try for five?
Unless...
Yeah, I'll give it five.
Go on, then.
I'll let you have a go at five.
Come on, then. Five words that you think Scott Quinnell will say.
Passion.
Guaranteed, surely.
Belief.
Good one.
Heart.
You're writing these down, Phil.
I am.
Passion, belief, heart.
Can I use more gentle ones like boys?
Nah.
I suppose there's no
family one. Or something like
oh,
that,
Oh, that's a good one. Family. I like
Tim,
that one.
Sorry.
Family. Remember.
You going with that?
Okay.
All right.
We get an opportunity today.
Opportunity? You missed that
Damn
one.
It. To add to the history of School of Hard Knocks.
History.
You've all come out and you've all had your different stories. You've all had your ups. We've all had our downs.
Ups and downs, Jay.
We've had our fights.
Oh, come on.
We've had tears. The one thing he's done for us, though, is bring us together.
As a family, is he going to say...
What you've done is create a togetherness.
Oh, he's going to say family.
8 weeks ago, you individually walked into this football club, self-esteem and self-confidence, with some of you was at an all-time low. I saw that change yesterday. I saw tears in Pip Boy's eyes. I saw tears... in Will's eyes. I felt tears in my eyes when we saw those stories.
Come on.
And you are now part of this team. You're part of this family.
Family!
You
yes!
You're
yes!
part of this family. Because that's what School of Hard Knocks is. It's a way of life. Normally at this time, I unleash the dragon. I unleash the dragon. But not today. Do you know why? Because this is your...
Come on.
Are we ready? Are we ready?
Let's go and play rugby! I'm up for it.
Massively up for it.
He's good at that, isn't he?
He is good at that, but...
Oh, just one thing. I've just got... When I said that, we need to just play a little bit of Cisco's Unleash the Dragon. Here I come, niggas on me back.
I think this is what he meant.
I've unleashed the dragon! I know you don't really want to... I've unleashed the dragon!
How
are you
not going to work off?
Belief! I would have put good money on him saying passion or belief.
The one I was worried about was family. I wonder if he's giving speeches that good when we're getting pumped by 40 points to nil. When he used to play, he was getting pumped by 40 points to nil. We're off to Twickenham for a good 50-point beating. I mean, they'd all be crying when they came
I know
out.
We got my brother in the team and we're going to get hammered, but come on!
Oh, no, his brother's in the team.
Oh, good, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did, that was great.
We should do that and get him again.
That's good. We'll do that every episode of Hard Knocks. We'll do that with the big speech. Right, we mentioned the Ireland game. That was the last Six Nations game we touched upon. And JB, you spotted something that Joel Schmidt has gone on record and said.
I didn't. Phil did.
Oh, sorry, Dan corrected. Phil, go on, Phil.
Yeah, in his post-match interview when asked about Brian O'Driscoll, he likened him to Benjamin Button because he keeps on improving every year with age, which I thought was very good.
It's not a bad shout.
Getting younger as he gets older.
Yes.
Will he make it to the World Cup? With that sort of chat, you sort of start to wonder whether he might. Why not?
Has he got to 37?
He's not playing like he's 35.
Phenomenal athlete to be able to be performing at that level at this age.
He really is. He still looked exceptional.
And then
he?
They can do a deal with Leinster where they just, like, much like Richie McCaw and Dan Carter for New Zealand, they just like, let's keep the powder dry a little bit.
But McCaw and Carter are 31.
He changes games.
I don't think his pace is there.
Yeah, but he isn't the centre that he was when he first showed up.
Absolutely, but there could be times when you're against someone like Fofana who has got real pace, who could, I say could potentially show his lack of pace, but
I've
as long as
he's
streetwise enough and his positioning's good enough that he's not seen it.
It's like the old cliche everyone used to say about players like Teddy Sheridan. They're quick in mind. That buys him an extra second, the sharpness of
30
thought.
30 steps are on his head.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, anyway, so Joel Schmidt says he's like Benjamin Button, which leads me nicely on to the fact that a couple of days ago I had a chat as part of my sort of day job. I work on a radio programme with Nick Frost, the actor. Now, he's the one half of Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead and all that.
Spaced.
He's Spaced. He's the big lad. And I knew he was a big rugby fan. He lives just near Twickenham. But I didn't realise he was quite this much of a rugby fan.
Yeah, I played rugby for years since I was, like, 7 years old. I played for Barking Rugby Club as a little kid.
Oh, Jason Leonard, you must
Jason,
have met him.
Yeah, Jason and I would train together. He was like 4 or 5 years older than me, but at one point, you know, we'd train and he'd be tight head and I'd be loose head and then we'd have, you know, hooker. And then at one point the Llewellyn brothers were playing for Barking too.
Wow.
The Welsh Locks.
Yeah, the Locks, yeah.
And so we had that as a tight five. I mean, I never played first team there because I was too young, but I trained with the first team. It was amazing. I loved it. And I got hurt when I was 16 and it... I kind of had to take a year off, and by the time I got back into it, I discovered girls and drinking and hashish, and my heart was kind of not in it anymore.
Well, Jason Leonard, he discovered drinking as well. He could put them away, couldn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't have it in me to just train two or three times a week, and I didn't. The last time I played, I was 21 years old, and I was asked by a mate of mine, a Nigerian mate, why don't you come and train at London, Nigeria? And Steve Ajomo was taking the lessons. And I trained a few times with them and got into the second team, but they would fight a lot during training. They would fist fight a lot. And I was 21. I thought, oh, I don't want to be hit by a massive Nigerian on a Monday night in the rain. So I jacked it in.
So that was Nick Frost. He's got a movie, Cuban Fury, that's out in a few days. I had a chat with him and talked rugby with him for a moment for the podcast. And there you go. Him,
excellent.
Jason Leonard was his was his mentor.
He does kind of fit the prop mould.
He's a slice. He's as wide as he is tall.
Could you take him if you had to?
Nah.
Yeah, you could. You said you would.
He'd kill me. So I thought, we've got the Benjamin Button thing that Joel Schmidt said. We've got Nick Frost there saying he was a prop and he's an actor. So dream 15 time then. Let's come up with a movie 15.
Great idea. I love this when you suggest it, Tim.
All right, so number one, prop Nick Frost. He's already filled the first jersey. Okay. So who would be his other prop? Who would be tight head for Nick Frost, Lou said?
John Candy?
Yeah.
Hooker?
Julie Roberts.
Julie Raspberry! Great lines.
Yeah. So that works well.
Cool. Nick Frost and John Candy with Julia Roberts, the hooker between them. Second row, then. I went Vince Vaughn.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Yeah, he is tall, isn't he?
Long man.
Yeah, very good.
I was thinking someone who's already been mentioned in one of the Dream 15s.
Go on.
In the Run to the Litter 15. Daniel Cudmore.
Oh, good.
What a great shout.
He could actually do it.
Yeah, well, he's been in X-Men and Twilight movies. And obviously, I assume he played some rugby when he was
younger. Or American football or something.
Yeah, so he could actually...
He's got pedigree, yeah.
Vince Vaughn and Daniel Cudmore.
Good, nice. Yeah, good second row combo.
Back row then, Blindside.
Well, I've gone with Matt Damon.
Because
he played seven...
Going to say that South Africa have the six and seven like France.
Yeah. Exactly. So he played seven for South Africa, so six in our team. He's also played rugby in two other films.
The Departed.
Departed, where he also played seven. And I think, did he lose to the Fire Brigade in that game?
When it was the police...
Yeah, it's Boston PD against Fire Brigade, I believe.
I don't know. Did they give out a score?
Wow. Yeah, and actually, they got the rugby thing wrong, because at the end, they're all flicking their middle finger up at the Fire Brigade. Yeah, screw you guys.
That would never happen in rugby.
Exactly.
Not in rugby.
Well, who would you have at seven?
I think it's one of the most difficult positions to learn. So I thought Daniel Day-Lewis, because he'd spend a year and a half shadowing Richie McCaw. And by the time we actually played the game, he'd be phenomenal.
I'd go for that then.
I'll go with it. I was thinking maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger would have made a six.
Oh no.
I was thinking a straight shootout between Arnie and The Rock at eight.
Matt Damon at seven, six.
Daniel Day-Lewis
at seven, the method player. And number eight being...
Rock's got pedigree with American football.
I would like The Rock, because I really want Arnie in the centres.
He's a bit wooden.
Yeah.
Robotic. Just marshalling that midfield.
I can't imagine being fast, though.
He's not going to do a jinking sidestep.
You're not going to go through him. You sound like almost like a Matthew Bastereau or
Mike
Tindall.
All right, well, I'm going to chuck in my number eight, then.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to chuck Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, nice.
I had potentially Dolph Lundgren as a second row, simply because he's, I think, 6'5", 6'6". He's a big guy.
But if there's one actor that looks like Pierce Beast, physically...
Or James Haskell.
James Haskell physically, then...
Tell you who is a phenomenal actor and does a great job on the Holland & Barrett adverts. Martin Corrie, but I just don't think he's good enough.
As is Austin Healey on the Advanced Hair Studio advert. Can we go Dolph Lundgren at eight?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren at eight, and there we go. That rounds off the pack. So, scrum half.
Peter Dinklage.
Who? Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Tyrion Lannister.
Oh, wonderful.
partly as well because he looks a lot like...
Oh, he's so cunning as well.
Well, he looks a lot like our friend who's a scrum half.
Steve. Oh, very good.
Peter Dinklage. is our scrum half in our movie 15. Fly half. This is an important position.
Samantha Jenness. She kicked the winning goal in up and under.
Oh, in the film with, what's his name, Neil Morrissey?
Yes.
I was thinking, right, as a male alternative, I'm open to the idea of Samantha Jenness.
That's why it's important for me to have Arnie on the outside, because if you're going to go with those silky those silky skills...
Well, I was thinking of more like a proper man's man at 10, like a captain, like he'll take responsibility, Russell Crowe. Commander of the armies of the North, commander of the back line.
I like Crowe. Rusty Crowe.
Russell Crowe has never done anything to suggest ever that he'd be a better 10 than Samantha Jenness. We've got game tape on her.
It's an important position, and he has got the ability to lead and make decisions.
Yeah. He'd be a great 12.
No, I'd go for him at 10. He's New Zealander as well.
Russell Crowe at 10. In the centres, then.
Sean Bean could be one, potentially, as an inside centre. I think
he would die pretty early.
He'd work well as an inside centre with Will Smith as a gliding, athletic outside centre.
Yes.
Will Smith would be a great shout.
I like that. You can imagine him
some
having
some jiggy
a,
running.
A searing... You can imagine him having a searing outside break, can't you?
Couldn't you just?
Yeah. He's in good shape as well.
He is.
Will Smith.
He works out.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Yeah, he's on our outside centre.
That makes the best trip back from Wigton a lot more bearable when you've got Will Smith in the team.
So let's let him get jiggy with it, like his jiggy outside running, as JB described, as we pick our wingers.
I always struggle for wingers. I can't really think of any fast actors. I know who couldn't play wing. Steven Seagal, because he can't run.
Oh, we didn't think of Steven Seagal.
You can't play the wing. That's the end of that.
There's a few action men that we didn't think of for the back, or didn't mention for the back row, like
Van Damme,
Statham,
Sly Stallone.
I can't imagine him on the wing.
And actually, Kelly Brook's got form when it comes to men. She knows a good rugby player when she meets one, and she used to go up with Statham. So,
It's
almost like having a scouting report.
Him like the little number 11.
He's like a Sharples.
Yeah,
he is like a Sharples.
Yeah.
If we put him in really long cycling shorts, we might have a player there.
Who would be on the other wing? Because we've still got we've got to have a place for Chuck Norris in the side somewhere. I reckon no one gets past Chuck Norris. Stick him at the back.
Well, James Bond's at the back. Daniel Craig. There's no way he is not a fullback.
I quite like Daniel Craig at fullback. Mickey Rourke was at one point set to play Gareth Thomas.
He was.
But I can't personally see it, so I'd much rather have Daniel Craig.
As James Bond in his tux.
So we've got as a right winger, you've got Jean-Claude Van Damme potentially, you've got Chuck Norris.
My winger would be, it's kind of a lookalike. He looks like two wingers, Yohan Ujie and rugby league player Aidy Gardner. We both look quite similar.
Ooh.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Actor from Entourage, Vincent Chase.
Oh. No Tom Cruise as well in that side.
Are you surprised?
Nah. No, I'm really not. That's a quality 15, that.
It's very
yeah. I'd like to see a training session with those guys.
Wonderful bus back.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful away days.
Yeah. Rusty Crowe would get the tinnies going round, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
He'd be all over that. Julia Roberts would keep all the boys entertained.
That's right.
And brilliant. If you have any more suggestions that you think deserve a shirt more than that, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, as always, get
in touch. Don't just name the entire cast of Game of Thrones.
I did stop myself from saying Mark Addy, who's Robert Baratheon.
I haven't watched it yet. I keep meaning to get into it.
It's reasonable.
Khal Drogo is an 8.
Khal Drogo is the 8. Crikey, he'd be a good 8.
Yeah.
I've still not seen it, so let's move on. Phil, I want to talk to you about this Six Nations points scoring thing, because some people are arguing that there should be bonus points.
Last year, kind of drew a line under it, because England would have won the tournament if bonus points had been applied.
Yeah, you could win the Grand Slam and still lose the championship, theoretically.
Yes. Because
you could
win. Just wrong.
Yeah,
it is wrong. Nosebleed as it is, it's one of the most successful tournaments in the world of any sport, I'd say.
Most competitive annual international tournament, absolutely.
Yeah, leave it. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing a promotion relegation if we can get the other countries in Europe and around sort of a slightly better level, because there's a lot of teams that are aspiring to be good. Georgia and Russia and Romania.
Yeah.
Or a playoff between the top and the bottom or something like that.
As part of the ongoing discussions about the European club game, One of the things that the French Federation of Rugby put forward was a two-tiered national European tournament. So the Six Nations are tier one, mm-hmm. and then Georgia, Romania, Russia, Portugal, Spain, one other, as tier two, and set parameters for promotion into the team. So it wouldn't just be one good season for Georgia and they beat everyone, yeah. and then they beat Scotland or Italy or whoever finishes bottom and get promoted. They would need to have like consistent development, certain number of players being professional within their squad, just making those criteria up. But I think that is a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
I would I would happily watch Romania, Georgia or Russia.
Well, look at Italy now.
Yeah.
And they were getting hammered the first few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look decent. Mm. They are still getting hammered. Let's not forget that though.
They're not though, like.
Well, they are.
They finished fourth last year.
But that's a best ever finish, is it not?
Yeah, but they're continually improving.
And they've been in the tournament for
10 years,
15 years.
Well, that's what it takes.
It's not going to be overnight.
It's 100-odd years of history that England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland have got.
And the other thing about that as well is, I wouldn't like to dismantle the history of the England, Ireland, Wales, you know, all playing each other because it's so entrenched now.
I think it'd be promotion to the top table, so you have a 7-person tournament or an 8-person tournament potentially, rather than, and you could, like, if you get an eight person, you could have two pools with a knockout.
Yeah, but it's like Eurovision. The main characters
they should all play.
Who fund it are in there, whatever.
Yeah, they should all play with no score, and at the end we all vote on the performances. That's not a bad idea, is it?
I'll tell you what I've got, and there's no debate about this because it's just phenomenal. Is I've got some rugby hokey.
Mm. Oh, excellent.
Now, this rugby hokey is from last summer, and it's immediately following, well, soon after, that night, after the Lions victory in the Sydney Test to win the Lions
good
series. And it's Sean O'Brien in the Cock and Bull pub in Sydney, up on stage, singing Mumford & Sons.
Is it professionally filmed, or is it someone with a mobile phone?
It's a mobile phone.
Is it? Nice. Yeah.
Wonderful.
This isn't on the DVD extras. So here we go then. Rugby hokey, because rugby players do love to sing, as we discovered, and we can't quite believe how many of them do. Let's go back to where it all started, boys, to set Sean O'Brien up.
Keep it kind of quiet.
Alex Corbisiero.
Scrum is straight, Tom is right. I don't deny it. Test me, try it. Style, you don't fly it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up high. Grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So sick of tenants, you can't buy this.
And, you know, the English guys were dominating with Matt Stevens, Ben Foden, Alex Corbisiero. But it's nice to see the Irish boys really coming back again. And here's Sean O'Brien's effort. He missed his cue for the verse, so he knows the chorus anyway. But
yeah, clearly.
He's a big man.
Huge.
Oh, that's good. And you can tell by the atmosphere there, that would be an incredible place to be at that time.
Yeah.
What an evening.
Mm. I think that's why the 97 Living With Lions is so popular.
If you know of any other rugby okies, then at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we would love to hear from you. And by the way, while I'm at it, thank you very much if you are listening and you took the trouble to post a review on iTunes, because we just sort of throwaway went, yeah, if you got some constructive feedback or you like it, you know, give us some reviews, because it helps bump us up the charts and whatnot in iTunes, which is fab. So thank you very much. I demand you
post more reviews. Demand.
No, it's good, and it's nice to know you're on board and enjoying it. And yeah, we're all here for the same reason, because we love the rugby. Let's finish with just a quick look at the Six Nations and the games that are to come. Which of the three matchups are you sort of most looking forward to? Trying to be objective as you can, obviously, and putting our England hats and Wales hats in JB's case.
Has to be Wales Island, though, doesn't it?
I'd like to see a stern test for the Ireland team, who look very good.
Ireland-Wales at the Aviva, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What an awful stadium, by the way. It is the worst stadium in... No, actually, Murrayfield is the worst stadium in Six Nations.
What you got against Murrayfield? Although I don't like the big track around the outside.
It's horrendous. If you look at Murrayfield, right, it goes round and it gradually slopes down. So you don't notice it's like kind of a helter-skelter, very shallow helter-skelter. And then there's a big lip where it comes up again. This is the most bizarre stadium. One quarter of a running track. What use is that to anyone?
I don't like having a running track, no matter how small, around a
I'm with pitch. You on that one. But the Aviva, I mean, I know there's that one weird end.
Yeah, where they ran out of money or whatever it is, or, you know, after the financial crash, oh, Christ.
But they still managed to get a big old stadium with that one small end.
And what I do like about the Aviva is, it's not the stadium itself, but the atmosphere in the crowd how disciplined and how silent they are when there's a kick taking place.
There's clearly one stadium which is better than all the others when we're talking about international stadiums, and that is Millennium. Whoa! Cauldron of silence.
Do you know what? I have to say, and it was around about the same time, the Millennium Stadium was being built after Wembley had started, and it finished before Wembley finished. I would take the Millennium Stadium over Wembley any day.
The footprint of Wembley is three times the footprint of the Millennium Stadium.
Is it?
Yeah, it's huge.
And having the roof.
Do you remember the old advert with Eric Cantona when he flicks up his collar and goes, au revoir? That's what it's like playing in the Millennium Stadium. Oppressive, close atmosphere.
It's like Scott Cornell shouting at you, pride, belief.
Can you do Cornell's accent saying au revoir?
Au revoir!
I've got the figures here for cost. Millennium Stadium cost 121 million.
Is that it?
To build.
What? Millennium Stadium, 121 million?
That's like...
Wow.
That's like Chelsea's strike force.
Wow.
Wembley Stadium cost 798.
Oh, there's no comparison. When you look at that, that's ridiculous. We were fleeced.
Yeah.
We paid for that. It was our taxes paid for that. That's a good knowledge bomb, by the way, for these stats. Well done.
Bloody hell.
Sorry, that's a very...
long knowledge bomb. We need to sort this knowledge bomb out. We've got such a good stash sounder, and we're still lumbered with the knowledge bomb.
Last week was all about France, England. This one's all about Ireland, Wales. How do you see it going?
I have no
Phillips,
idea.
Roberts, it's so hard to call.
There's talk, isn't there, of Adam Jones not starting. That's interesting.
Really? Because then Rodri Jones would come in, who is... young and inexperienced.
Keane Healy. Other than that, that's my only insight to this game. I have no idea. Heaslip is a monster. Now, Lydiot's quality... Lydiot's
tackling. He's so much tackling.
Ugh.
Dan Lydiot, if rugby doesn't work out for him at any point, in Canada, they'll happily just have him run and dive at the bottom of redwood trees to bring him down. I want a log cabin going...
Go find some logs, Dan.
Go and dive at the base of a few trees, Dan.
Devlin,
I'll tell you where we are significantly better than the Irish hooker. Significantly.
Agreed. Although I really rate Sean Cronin.
Will they start with Cronin?
No, they'll start with Best.
Good. Thank God.
And go on then. In a word, you're going to say Wales, JV, obviously.
Wales.
I'll say Ireland just.
In Ireland, I'm going to have to go home win.
Good. Good.
But it's going to be tight, and I cannot wait for it.
Mm.
France, Italy, in Paris. Going France, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's
the other one?
I'll go for France.
It's England, Scotland.
It's at Murrayfield.
Murrayfield.
I don't think this is as much plain sailing as everyone thinks it is. Yeah.
Showing up. And they're tight forward games, even though they've got some very good individual forwards like Denton.
Every single time David Denton is on, I just think of... do you remember this viral video that was around a while ago?
No.
Of a dog in Richmond Park in London.
Yes, I remember
Benton.
It.
Benton!
I'd forgotten about this.
Right. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Sounds like Brian Moore's commentary.
I'm glad you mentioned Denton.
Hmm.
Because imagine this for a back row. Ewers, Pocock, Denton.
The potential Zimbabwe.
Wow.
Yeah, one of my friends who is involved in the website Art of Domination, which is a James Haskell spoof website.
Awesome.
He discussed putting together an all Zimbabwe team. He reckons you can do it. He reckons you can have a Zimbabwe 15 who don't play for Zimbabwe.
Wow.
So everyone say in England?
well.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say England. Wow. But do you know what? I don't think it's going to be all plain sailing.
No, I agree.
I think it's going to be more difficult than you expect.
I agree with that.
No.
So, there's a couple of transfers. We should probably just like quickly touch on the transfers. There's been a little bit of movement, and there'll be more probably after Sod's Law, as soon as we finish recording this, there'll be more that come out.
Yeah, because a star of Don't Drop the Egg and Bath. Benders. Anyone who's not watched Don't Drop the Egg, look it up on YouTube. It's a phenomenal.
It's very good, isn't it?
Very funny.
I'm not familiar with it, so I will check it out.
Really?
No.
Yeah. You've never seen it?
It's very good.
You'll love it, Tim.
So Benders has been let. Final year of his contract. They've just said, "It's all right, don't worry about it. Time served and all that. You've been with us since you were a kid. You're not first choice now. We got Watson. Off you go." See you later. He's going to Claremont. So Benders.
That's a great move for him.
Ollie Barkley has got a 4-month till the end of the season. He's going to be joining Scarlets. So there's not all one-way traffic. People out of Scarlets.
He was the most expensive, the highest paid player at Grenoble.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And has only played 3 times this season.
And he wasn't even starting at Bath when he left.
We are done and dusted until next time. Enjoy the Six Nations. Enjoy battling in our fantasy league. Phil, give the details one more time for that.
It's ESPN Scrum Fantasy Rugby, and the league code is 53030.
We'll tweet that at Rugby Podcast, where you can get in touch. And if you've got any thoughts or any questions or anything to say on this podcast or ideas for future podcasts, if you're called Gordon and want to star in a feature called Stash Gordon, we need to get that off the ground. Otherwise, it's just left for me to say nice one for listening. And JB.
Cheers, Tim.
And Phil.
Bye.
And what should we be sung out by? Phil, you decide.
Ooh, I just said bye. Can we have... can we have one of the Foden clips?
Yeah,
probably not the Christmas one.
What's this one?
It is cheesy, but that's what we do, isn't it?
All right, okay, you cheese it up.
See ya.
I'm doing nothing. Cos there'll be some doing nothing wrong. I'm gonna stay here on my own and turn off my telephone. Nothing's gained, nothing's won. But when I feel it's this is my decision, and you keep on messing up the words. So when I feel it's yours, you keep on pushing like I need permission to be heard. I'm gonna lift it higher.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.